Have you noticed that people tend to be really, really busy? In the Western world, in America specifically, we really value hard work. We really value working a lot. I'm guilty of this. But we don't necessarily value rest. There might be some people who that you might be thinking of, oh, they value rest too much. They work too much. But in general, we've really idolized hard work and taken away the biblical command to rest. I'm Eric Rasmussen. This is the Concerning Him podcast. And today we have on Sean McDonald, who's a full-time elder at Anchor Community Church here in Dubuque, Iowa. A really important topic to Sean is rest or Sabbath, the biblical commandment that God gives us to take time away from work and to reflect on who God is and how he provides for his creation. If you listen to these episodes on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a rating or review. If you watch the episodes on YouTube, it'd be great if you'd like the video or subscribe to our channel. Remember, the Concerning Him podcast is brought to you by Emmaus Bible College. Here at Emmaus, it's our goal to impact the world for Christ in everything we do. Whether that's educating people in Bible and theology in the classroom, or it's preparing them for future professional careers, or it's through ministries like Concerning Him. For more information about Emmaus, please visit emmaus.edu. And if you're interested in listening to more episodes like this one, or listening to biblically focused sermons, or reading great articles, please visit concerninghim.com. Welcome, Sean. Happy to have you on the podcast. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Good. Good. Well, today I'm excited to talk about rest or Sabbath. This is something that is important to you. It's what I hear. I've actually talked to a few people in the last week that go to church with you, mentioned that I might be talking to you about this. They say, oh, that's really good. He really cares about that. So I'm really excited to hear your thoughts. But before we get to rest and Sabbath and talking about that whole concept from scripture, I want to hear some about you and your background. Obviously, I think I know some, but I don't know all. And yeah, like to hear your background kind of leading up to what you're doing now, your role at ACC here in Dubuque.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in Northern Illinois, not too far from here, about 2 hours away, and was really impacted by my youth ministry growing up. And so I was looking at going into ministry full time. And so I was looking at different colleges and found Emmaus, ended up coming to Emmaus Bible College from 2007 to 2010, graduated, met my wife here. We got married a week after graduation, so that was a fun time in our lives with a lot of change. And then we stuck around in Dubuque, and so I've done various things here in Dubuque for the last decade or so. I worked at Dubuque Harley Davidson in the shop there, and then I started my own business. I had a retail camera store downtown, and I'll talk about that actually a little bit because that's part of my journey as well. And then I went to go work for Emmaus Worldwide after that, and then a little over 2 years ago, the elders of our church approached me about considering coming on to our church as a full-time elder. So that's what I'm currently doing now. That's kind of the short of it, but kind of from this general region and area. But then my wife and I just really love Dubuque, so we've stuck around and have done various things in the city since then. So
what does your role look like at ACC here in Dubuque?
Yeah, so that's always a fun conversation depending on if you come from Plymouth Brethren Assembly background, if you come from a Baptist or evangelical free or non-denom background. So my title is administrative elder. But, you know, being a church leader and being the only staff member, there's always spillover into other areas, right? So I do some of the preaching, but really I'm helping organize and facilitate all of our different ministries in the church. How do I help? How do we as elders help equip them to do their work the best that they can? And so sometimes that's just organizing, a lot of communication, a lot of just kind of facilitating between different ministries and things like that. But really it's the same job as an elder. I'm just able to give all of my time to it.
Okay.
So my role isn't necessarily different than the other elders in our church. It's just I can give 40 hours a week to it where they are all working other full-time jobs and can only, you know, give a limited number of hours to it. So we meet with people for pastoral counseling. We talk about, you know, what to teach in our sermon series coming up. We do, all the regular stuff of elders. I just give more time to it.
We had a couple years ago now, we had Dave Anderson on, and we talked about pastoral eldership, and he has a similar role. He kind of went into depth about what that looks like. But yeah, he was talking about how I'm an elder. I'm just out of the multiple elders. He is the one doing it full time, has more time able to give to it. And yeah, that makes sense. That's are you enjoying it so far? I'm hoping so.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. It's been interesting though. So I've been working for ACC, Anchor Community Church, for a little over 2 years. And even in that 2 years, my role has shifted. So I really love being able to adapt my role to what the needs of the church are. So when I first started, we had some other men who were able to preach a little bit more often. And so my role really was more administrative. And we had a lot of administrative needs at that time. But since then, our administrative needs have gone way down. And the role of preaching, we've had more need there. Mm. So I've kind of adapted a little bit more of what I'm doing. And so some days I wonder if my title is as accurate as it was when I started, but that doesn't really matter too much. So, but yeah, it's shifted and changed. And I hope in the future that it'll continue shifting and changing as the needs of our specific church changes. And that I can adapt to that as long as I'm still have the right gifting for whatever the needs are, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, that's great to hear. I'm glad to hear that. We want to talk about rest today. And I think what would be important, I want to get to kind of like a theology of rest or something like that. But before we get there, you talked about kind of having a journey that led you to this becoming a pretty important topic in your life. And it'd be great if you walked us through that.
Yeah, for sure. So, like I mentioned before, I grew up in northern Illinois in the Midwest and in a very small town of about 700 people. So a lot of the people in our community were farmers, working in machine shops, a lot of labor type jobs. And so sometimes as I reflect back, I think in our community, the only thing worse than being an evil person was to be a lazy person. Mm. There's a really high emphasis on hard work. And I think that can be really good, right? But what that does to you as you grow up is you see that hard work is the highest priority, or at least one of them. And so that shapes you and forms you. So then after, I went to college, and wanted to start my own business, in that journey as well, I kind of got ingrained into that culture of hustle culture. So, reading Inc. magazine and reading of 30 under 30, business people and Business Insider and Harvard Business Review and all those things, right? And there, at least in our culture at this time, in Western culture, there's a high emphasis on like hustle, work, do as much as you can, and then do more, right? Yeah. So there's very little understanding of rest and of what that looks like. And so some of those things I started feeling, and especially if anyone's owned their own business or a type of work that never ends, there really, unless you set your own boundaries, there really aren't boundaries that society will put for you. So, I had my own store, and if anyone's ever started a business, like you're always trying to like shore up your best efforts and to try and you're always thinking about how can I make new revenue streams? How can I lower my overhead costs? What are some other side hustles I could do? What is my second and third side hustle that I can do? So I remember I was working, probably 6 days a week, and then had, Sundays I'd go to church and then we'd maybe do something as a family in the afternoon and then just start it all over again. And there was very, very little rest. And so like I've seen what that does to my heart, and it makes me anxious, and it makes me tired and irritable and things like that, as well as just not giving space to really hear from the Holy Spirit and from the Lord, like, what is he doing in my life and what does he want me to do? How do I see other people? And I really was not very interruptible. So, you know, you drive past people who are maybe have a flat tire and you think, oh man, I wish I could stop and help them, but I can't because I've got to go to the next meeting. I've got to do the next thing. And so, you know, I started listening to some podcasts from different organizations. Specifically, one was Bible Project did a series of podcasts just on Seventh Day Rest. And that started kind of churning in my mind a little bit. And then I started listening to some other preachers and things like that who were also talking about this. And I was like, man, like, I don't have that in my life. And as they were starting to like really lay out the theological argument for it, I just really felt like, man, this is something not just that I need because I feel anxious or busy or tired, but like this is something that God has created into the universe. And we would be disadvantaged to not go along with that. So, yeah, so I didn't really start practicing a Sabbath until a little over 2 years ago. I started kind of on a slow trajectory of just like not doing any work on, I think Saturday was the day that I chose, and just trying to be a little bit more careful of not answering email and things like that, which is my specific type of work, right? Is a lot of just meeting with people, answering emails and things like that. But just trying to do that. And then slowly over time, as I was reading more, thinking more, being exposed to more people who have developed more things in this area, started adding some more ways that we could take advantage of that rest. So, yeah, so that's a little bit of the journey.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, I've got about a million follow-up questions, but with some practical stuff. Maybe before we get there, I want to talk about the kind of the theology behind this Sabbath or rest. I mean, there's an aspect here, and we don't have to dive deep into this, but there's an aspect of there's a covenant theology / dispensationalism disagreement that often happens with this. Yeah. Of, you know, hey, the New Testament repeats 9 of the 10 commandments. The one it doesn't repeat is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know, and people have varying views on, you know, well, we just do the ones that the New Testament repeats, or the New Testament doesn't tell us not to do that. So we could, if you want to dive into that, you're free, but you don't have to. I just wanted to lay that out, put that out there.
Yeah.
But kind of what are you seeing in Scripture as kind of the theology behind this idea of really specifically taking time to rest?
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in a evangelical free church. So once again, Sabbath was not really something that was talked about very much. And that's okay. But as I started unpacking this, I started, you know, my initial way to come to the conversation was, well, that's legalism, or that's for the Jewish people. We're now, you know, followers of Christ. We don't, you know, have to do that. And there may be some elements of that are true as well. But the more I started listening and reading, the more I really was struck at how rest, and specifically Sabbath, was created before the fall. And a lot of times we think of this just as an Israel thing, that God gave them specific instructions of how to keep the Sabbath. And that's great. And that's true. But the Sabbath actually predates Israel. Like, what's also interesting is so God himself rested. And I think that is a pattern for all humanity, not just for the chosen people of Israel. And so, you know, however you fall with dispensationalism or covenant theology, like, I think there is still an element of, like, this predates even the fall. And then if you even look at Adam, you know, he was created on the sixth day, his very first day would have been a day of rest. And that, I think there's some deep meaning to that of, we're supposed to be doing work, and work is a good thing given by God. But we're supposed to be doing it from a place of rest, not doing our work so that way we can rest at the end. Or even in God's design and how he created Adam was to start with rest, and then from a place of rest, doing work. And so that was something that really kind of started shifting some things in my mind, as far as like, oh, okay, so, you know, the Lord did give Israel specific ways in which that they could live it out and to help give them some handles. And so, you know, some may argue that we are still under those, some may argue we're not under those. But once again, going back to Genesis, looking at that, and then just also like God himself rested. Like, I think that those are powerful things that we need to grapple with, as well as the Ten Commandments, right? Like mm-hmm. you highlighted, like when I grew up thinking about the Ten Commandments, I didn't really know what to do with the Sabbath day because we didn't have a culture of how to do that. And so, you know, as you're a kid and you read through and the church usually reaffirms the Ten Commandments, but no one really highlighted or talked about how do we keep it holy, you know? And there are some church traditions that, you know, use Sunday as the Sabbath day. And I think there's some freedom and flexibility in that of depending on your culture and your life and things like that. But, yeah, I think this has been a neglected conversation, at least in a lot of Protestant sectors of the church. And I think it was assumed through a lot of church history, and it was assumed through a lot of the New Testament. And so we are now finally to a culture that does not assume that anymore. You know, I have a friend who is a youth pastor in Indiana, and even in his state, there's a lot of, I think they call them blue laws, where like you can't buy alcohol on Sunday and like certain places weren't open on Sunday. And that is really a carryover from like Christian culture being pervasive in the culture. But that is no longer our reality in the West, of that society as a whole recognizes this idea of Sabbath. So, I think we need to be intentional to wrestle with some of these thoughts and issues. And then we look at, you know, some of the issues that we're facing as a culture, specifically as Western culture, of, you know, mental health and depression and anxiety and how these things have, you know, exploded. And there's various reasons for that. But I think one of the contributing factors is that we don't have a cultural value of rest in our culture. And so a lot of people experience burnout, and it wreaks havoc on their lives in different ways. And some of us experience that in small ways. Others, you know, have that blow up into some big catastrophic thing. But I think all of us feel the tension of that a little bit, at least at some parts in our lives, depending on our work-life balance and things like that.
How much kind of guidance are you taking from Old Testament law?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious about that because you mentioned, you know, you chose Saturday. So
yeah.
The word choose, I'm assuming there's some aspect of, okay, there's some variance here. It doesn't have to be Saturday as a Sabbath. But you also mentioned that it's a day, that you have a day. And I think a lot of people might say, well, you know, I can just spend my 2 hours every evening and rest, and that's my Sabbath. And if I do that, you know, it's just a concept of rest that's important. How do you kind of go through all that? And then what you're doing on Saturday or not doing on Saturday, how are you kind of working through all of those things?
Yeah, for sure. And I do believe we have a lot of freedom in Christ. Like, I am a Gentile. I am not living in the land. I am not under the law. So I think we have a lot of freedom in how to practice things, where I think God gave Israel specific instructions to help them learn how to practice these things. And I don't think that those specific instructions necessarily apply to us. I personally choose Sabbath mostly because of the work that I do and how my week falls, right? So a good number of Sundays I'm preaching. And so another pastor that I listen to and has written a little bit on the subject really encourages pastors to preach from a place of rest. And so because Sunday is my Monday. So if you're, you know, working in a different field, you know, you may choose to do it on Sunday. And so, you know, some people have taken like Sabbath as Saturday and the Lord's Day as Sunday. And I think once again, there's freedom in that. I think you can also do Sabbath on Sunday. There are people that work in hospitality or in the food industry that work weekends. And so I think there's freedom to choose another time to rest. And I think that's a freedom we have in Christ. We're not under the law. But I think we would just be unwise to not rest at all. when God himself gave us that example of him even resting on the seventh day. So, you know, if you're in the food industry and you're like, you know what, I work Saturdays and Sundays and like I have to work those days because of, you know, my manager or because that's when I get the tips and things like that. And you take a Wednesday or something. I think there's a lot of freedom we have to do that. And once again, I think we all need to start with where we're at. So if someone's not practicing any rest, it may start with just 2 hours on an afternoon and being quiet and turning off your phone and things like that. And then hopefully that's life-giving to you, and you start over time, you see the value of that, and then you can grow that, right? So that was kind of my journey. I said I started with not really too many rules per se. I just was trying to just not do my specific work as much as I could. But once again, there's freedom in that, I think. And it's not a means of salvation. It's not a means of earning love from God. It's just something I think that's helpful for us. And so I even though I do try and keep a 24-hour Sabbath, there are exceptions to that, right? And I think you even see that even in the Old Testament. You know, if your ox falls in a ditch, like on the Sabbath, are you not going to do that? And even Jesus healing on the Sabbath is like, are you not supposed to still do good, even on your time that has been set aside for rest? So I think we can fall in the trap of legalism and of not helping people, not doing the things that Jesus did on the Sabbath in a pious way or in a rule-keeping way. And I think that's the dangers that Jesus himself talked about in the New Testament. And so I think we need to be careful with that. But then we also need to be careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, well, you know, then there are no rules or no rhythms in my life or no habits that I can cultivate that help me grow my relationship with the Lord. But I think as Gentile believers in the 21st century, like we have a lot of freedom in how to do that. And for different people at different stages of life, that will look different too. But I think just the foundation idea of rest is still one that is, whether you're commanded to do it or not, I think we're unwise to not build into our life some sort of habit of rest.
Because it's modeled in scripture. It's modeled by God in the 7 days of creation. The fact that something's commanded in the Old Testament, the command might not carry over, but the concept is still there as this was good for the Jewish people, probably good in some aspect for us today, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And so I would also even say, like, if you're coming at this thinking, oh man, this is just another thing I have to do, that is going to make it unenjoyable for you. I think most people, once again, in our culture, actually feel a lot of guilt if they take time off from work and from doing. And so I've had to wrestle with this myself, that a lot of times when I've taken time off, I feel guilty that I should be doing more. And I feel discouraged because a lot of my self-worth comes from productivity. And so if I'm not producing, I feel like I don't have value in those moments, and it feels like a waste, right? I would encourage people to reevaluate some of those assumptions that we bring in from Western culture, because God says we're valuable because we're his children, not because of what we do in the marketplace or even in ministry for the church, right? He loves us for who we are as his children. And so unpacking some of those things, I just would want to encourage people to give them license to take some time of rest and to not feel guilty about it. And I think for most of us, that's where we need to be. I don't think in our culture we have people taking too much time of rest where we need to then encourage them to, you know, work a little harder. There may be people and places that's the reality, and that's where I think there's wisdom in your local congregation and your local leadership to help navigate those things. But I would say by and large, our culture in general has very little value for rest. And I just want to encourage people to don't feel guilty, don't feel bad, experiment with it. give yourself the freedom that you have in Christ to take an afternoon off, to shut off your phone, to go for a walk, to spend time playing with your kids, to enjoy a nice meal. Like, those are things that God has given as gifts. And I think Sabbath is actually a gift. It's not an obligation. It's not a way of earning. It's a gift. And so I think we're just unwise if we don't take advantage of that gift and we don't implement it into our lives. So I guess that's kind of how I'd want to tweak it, away from the command idea to this is a gift that God has given and we have freedom to enjoy this. And like, you can find so much life and freedom and rest and sleep in and like enjoy that, enjoy your time. So that would be my encouragement for people. Yeah.
What does it look like practically? A Saturday for you as your Sabbath day. What are, I mean, are, is it just video games or 24 hours? I'm just kidding. But what is it with your family? What does this look like practically?
Yeah, yeah. So for me, we actually start Friday night with a Sabbath meal. And so we sometimes have friends over. Sometimes we'll just do it as our family. And I think there's a lot of value in starting with a meal. And we just kind of gather around the table. We read a short psalm or some sort of other poetry or something that is talking about Sabbath and rest. And then we have a meal, but we don't do it in front of the TV. We intentionally do it at the table. We, you know, light two candles to observe and remember. And then we just eat a meal and we go around the table and we talk about what was the highlight of our week. What was the best thing that happened to us that week? And so also celebrating the goodness. I think Sabbath is also an opportunity, or taking time and rest, whether you want to call it Sabbath or not, that's fine. But taking time and space to then reflect and remember all the good things God has given you. And I think it can also then build in gratitude in your life. And this is also where I've recognized so many other things that I was just neglecting before that are good things in my life that I just am so busy that I just blow past them. So we have a 7-year-old daughter, so we go around the table and just share what was the highlight of our week. And sometimes for her, it was getting, you know, more time at recess, or it was, you know, a cookie or something simple like that. But just to cultivate once again, an attitude of thankfulness before the Lord. And so then we just sometimes will, I know other people will say, well, we don't do any media or anything like that. Sometimes we'll do a family movie night afterwards. So we'll have our meal. We'll sit at the table. We always do a dessert. We've also, you know, changed our dessert for a while. We were making one giant big cookie, and then we just all eat off of it as we talked about the highlight of our week. Then we were going to Bundt Cakes, and we're getting a Bundt cake, different flavors each week. So we adapt different things, and sometimes we'll just spend some time maybe reading, or we'll go for a walk. I think we did that, I think this last week or two when it was nice and warm out, now that the weather's changing. And sometimes we'll just do a movie night and we'll just relax and then we'll go to bed. And then the next day, Saturday, we sleep in. We'll try and do something also in nature too, to cultivate once again thankfulness for the things that God has given us, and trying to put things in our life that are life-giving. I really enjoy the outdoors. I love going out and camping and hiking and kayaking and all this stuff. So we try and build in a little bit of that into our Saturday rhythm. But sometimes we'll do a play date with a friend so she can go and play and have fun, because we don't want it to just be boring for her either. Mm-hmm. But basically the good things, right? So sometimes we'll, you know, order in or eat out, or sometimes we'll just make a meal at home, but just really spend some time reading, spend some time just together. We don't have a lot of hard and fast rules as far as like what that looks like. Is for me, once again, I try to not do the work that I do. So I've also heard some people say that if you work with your mind, you rest with your body. And if you work with your body, you rest with your mind. So for me, yard work or things like that are a nice change of pace from my week to week work. Where if someone is in landscaping, that's not going to be restful for them to go out and to garden or to mow their lawn. One of my favorite things in the summer to do is to not just mow the lawn with the, you know, the straight lines, but also to weed whack and edge. Like, I just get that satisfaction. I think especially people that maybe work in customer service or, you know, ministry or something where at the end of the day, you can't see the fruits of your labor. That can be really discouraging over time. And so there are things that I try to do that I can actually see the fruit of that labor, right? And so for me, mowing the lawn and weed whacking is one of those things that I can like stand back and say, ah, oh, that looks good. I brought order to that. That is a good thing. Where if someone's in more of a manual labor job, for them, it may look more like reading or just having some quiet and doing something maybe with their mind, maybe listening to a sermon or something like that. So I think it looks different for different people, but once again, cultivating the things in your life that are life-giving to you, the things that you enjoy, and having the freedom and license to enjoy those things at least once a week. So when we started doing this a little bit more as a family, it felt a little bit like a holiday once a week. It's like there's a holiday every single week. So we, you know, will buy some, you know, wine or something like that for Friday night. We'll buy the bundt cake or whatever. During the summer, once in a while, I'm really the only one in my family that likes steak, but I'll buy a steak from the grocery store and we'll grill up and we'll do burgers and chicken and have some of those things that like are things that we sometimes feel guilty doing throughout the rest of the week. Because once again, my natural bent is I am naturally bent a little bit more stingy. And so Sabbath has also helped me realize that I need to not hold on to things so tightly, and that it's kind of a license to have good things and then enjoy them in moderation and in appropriate amounts, right? I'm not eating steak every single night. But I think there's a place that once a week or, you know, once every so often we can enjoy the good things that God has given us. And so that's also really helped my heart with my stinginess too, which I still struggle with, right? But it's interesting. So John Mark Comer wrote a book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which some people may be familiar with, where he's talking about this. And he just released a new book too called Practicing the Way. And he makes an argument that actually keeping a Sabbath is one of the keystone habits that then gives you the space to do other spiritual disciplines. So if you create that space, then you'll have time to read the word. You'll have time to pray. You'll have time to have conversations with your neighbor. You'll have time to practice gratitude and think of all the good things that God has given you. But if you don't start with some margin in your life, some place of rest, then you will quickly not have time to read the Bible, to pray, to, you know, enjoy the other things that God has given you. So I found that true in my life, that having that space has opened up a slot that then I can do other things that cultivate my relationship with God. And so that's why I think it's been so life-giving, not just the act of Sabbath, but because it has also given me permission to not do work and to just spend time with the Lord, to go on a walk, to play with my daughter, right? Like to just play in the backyard and play soccer and look at the caterpillar crawling in the grass and not feel rushed, not feel like I have to get back to the next thing, not, you know, oh, you know, my phone vibrated, you know, and things like that. So I think that those are some of the things that come along with it.
I've got a couple more follow-up questions for you. And one of them has to do with, you just said, the phone vibrating on your Sabbath, thinking about living in a world where not everybody's doing this, where most people are not doing this. Even specifically thinking about your role as a full-time elder, how do you navigate that space when you're supposed to be taking this day of rest? And obviously, like you mentioned before, if emergency comes up, you take care of that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you just have people who are just expecting you to be living life the way that they're living life and wanting to call you up, hey, I need you to do this today or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. How do you go about navigating that?
Yeah, no, that's a good thing because I think that's also a new thing in Western culture in the last couple decades is we have this social expectation that we're going to be reachable at all times. And that is very deformative in some ways. And we always feel, I feel this tension. And I, especially when I had my own business, there was one time that we had, there was a fire in the apartment above my store. And so I got a call at 11 o'clock at night that like, basically my store was, there was standing water and raining in a store of retail electronics. So oh that's my. Not, yeah. so that fear though of that situation had gripped me for years after that, that I need to be by my phone at all times. So that way, if that happens again, I need to, you know, run down and do something about it, which I can't do anything about it anyways. But we have this, you know, social expectation that we're always going to be reachable. So some really encourage people to turn off their phone for whatever set time that they're going to try and practice rest, whether it's an afternoon, whether it's a Saturday morning for a few hours, whether it's a full 24-hour period. I tried that a little early on, and it was hard because I actually found the other things that were life-giving to me is listening to podcasts and other things, or even worship music. Those things right now are kind of tied to my phone. And so I kind of then started turning my phone back on to do those things. So what I do now with my phone is I leave it on, but I leave it on the charger or something throughout the whole day. And I'll come back and I'll check it every couple hours just to see if there's anything that's like urgent, but I don't have it. I try to not have it physically on me at all times. Mm-hmm. And definitely not, you know, on sometimes, I mean, you could put it on do not disturb or things like that. And then I try to just not be on it too much. If I have the ability to, you know, listen to music a different way, I'll try and do that because once again, you're listening to music or podcasts and then a text pops up or a notification pops up. So different people may find different rhythms or routines on how to deal with the phone issue, but I would say that's a huge issue, that will take some work. And then it takes work to also, figure out expectations for other people. Setting those expectations with your employer, depending on your type of work. Some people are on call, trying to have a conversation with your employer saying, is there one day a week that I cannot be reachable? If you frame it that way, it sounds pretty bad if they say no. So my hope is that, you know, but there's different realities for different people. If you can turn your phone off, that'd be great. But at the bare minimum, what I do is just don't have it on my physical person, but check it every once in a while. And there are things that come up once again with church and things like that, that I'll, address if they're urgent. And that's once again, where I think there's freedom. I don't think this is a legalistic thing that like, I will not answer your call or text if there's an emergency, right? I think that's where we fall into some danger there. But at the same time, putting in some habits that are helpful for us to cultivate a life of rest and of thankfulness to the Lord and of giving our mental space to our spouses, to our children, to our neighbors, to those people around us, that's not always tied to this always being accessible to anybody who wants your attention. So you have to also set expectations to people that I may not respond immediately, but I'll try and respond in a somewhat timely manner. But yeah, I think people need to experiment and play around with that, but then always checking their heart and asking, what is this doing to my heart? What is this doing to my mental space? How is this helping me or hindering my relationship with the Lord? How is this helping or hindering me hearing from the Spirit? Things like that, I think, are good questions that we should ask ourselves.
If you've got time, just two more follow-up questions yeah. that I have for you. The first one would be, earlier on, you mentioned kind of we tend to in the West, not everybody, but there tends to be, especially in the Midwest, making hard work into an idol. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. This is more tangentially related to rest and Sabbath, but about you and I think would both recognize that, well, hard work is a good thing. It would be a bad thing if somebody never works hard. we're commanded to in scripture, in fact, and to do all our work as unto the Lord, and to recognize that everything that we're doing, you know, whether it's working retail or preaching a sermon or anything in between, can be glorifying to God, and we should do it for him. But how do we work hard but not turn hard work into an idol, like you grew up with, like you experienced? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is less about the hours you put in, and it's more about your motivations for doing it. There's a couple books that have been really helpful to Tim Keller's Every Good Endeavor is a classic. Mm-hmm. John Mark Comer has written one called Garden City, which is a little bit more accessible to people if Every Good Endeavor is a little heavy or thick. But just this idea that work, because once again, sometimes we come at work thinking that this is a part of the fall and that work is bad and we just have to do this because of the fall and things like that. But actually work is a good thing, but then we can also fall in the ditch on the other side and say that work is kind of the ultimate thing. And I remember there's one YouTuber that I was following when I had my camera store. His name's Casey Neistat, and he self-admittedly now, years back, looking back, was a workaholic, and he would, you know, basically be working about 18 to 20 hours a week or a day, and would sleep for about 4 to 6 hours and then get up and just, like, it's totally that hustle culture, right? But he said specifically, our work is the only thing that we're going to leave behind. He's not a Christian. And he said, our work is the only thing we're going to leave behind. And that, once again, was a little bit of a wake-up call for me as a Christian to say, that is not what I believe. Mm. Like, that is not, that our work and the things that we do are where we find our value, the legacy we leave. You know, that was his paradigm of what work was. And so that's why, I mean, if you have that paradigm, you become a workaholic and have idolatry work as an idol, because if that's the only thing you're going to leave behind, and if there's no afterlife, if there's no God, and work is everything, like, that's not a Christian idea. So that's when I started asking myself, like, I need to be careful with how much influence those ideas have on my life. Do I believe that my career is the most important thing in my life? And for some people to ask that question may be a little eye-opening. Is your career, whether it's ministry, whether it's being a doctor, whether it's doing good things, is that the point of your life? And, you know, others in the Christian field will say no, that the most important thing that you leave behind is who you become, because that will then be resurrected. And your relationship with God now is going to continue on into all eternity. And so our work is a way in which God, but if we turn our work into the thing that we worship and the kind of the idea of that's where I find my value and worth, like, you're going to get yourself into a real dangerous hole. But if you see work as just a way that you can then use that as formation in your life, a way to see the things that you need to improve and grow and ask the Lord to help you with, then work can be a great thing. So once again, putting up boundaries that we don't like in the West of time, of space, of things like that. But I would say more focus should be placed on the motivations in which why you do your work. Hmm. So yeah, one thing that also I've been unpacking for a few years is my dad passed away a number of years ago in his late 50s and never got to do retirement, right? And so some would look at that and say, man, I feel so bad. He had to work all those years and never got to enjoy retirement. So my dad was a believer, and if you really do believe that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord, then what type of retirement would be better than being present with the Lord? And what, if you believe that the goal then of your life is retirement, then you're just putting off the good part of your life until the end that may or may not come, depending on when the Lord calls you home. And so once again, having habits and routines that you can enjoy the goodness of life every single week, you can enjoy the fruits of your labor on a regular basis, is I think really important for us to also recognize our humility. So Sabbath is also about understanding that the world will get along without you just fine. And a lot of people, that hurts their ego. That if I don't do this thing, that business, that ministry, that thing will fall apart. And so that's why they continually, neurotically work. But when you take a full day and say, I'm not gonna work, you're acting with your body what you say you believe in your mind, that God can take care of the world for a day without me, that he can take care of my family, he can take care of my finances. I trust that he has what's good for us. And so that's going to happen whether I work 5 more hours or not. And I think those are some good, once again, questions to ask ourselves is, do we believe that things are going to fall apart without us? You may be placing too high of an emphasis on yourself. Even in the church world, I remember when certain other elders or people who were working for our church announced that they were going to leave. And it was like, oh my goodness, they're moving away, right? And like, what is going to happen to our church? And over the years I've seen, it doesn't matter. Every single person can be replaced, both in the business world and in ministry. You are not irreplaceable. God will move someone else into your place. And that's humbling, but it is so good for us, I think, to recognize some of those things.
That's really important. I think you're right. Most people do think, basically, I am so important, I have to keep doing this.
Right.
If it stops, you know, everything's going to fall apart. And you're saying, God's sovereign. He's taking care of all of these things.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's really good. I guess my final question, and you've really hit on this the whole way, but if you could just summarize briefly, kind of bring it all together of, since you have been putting this focus in your life on Sabbath, on rest, how has it changed or impacted your understanding of who God is and your walk, your relationship with him?
Yeah, I think also kind of dovetailing off what we just finished talking about is recognizing that God doesn't need my efforts. He wants me to love him first, and he will use me as an instrument as he sees fit, whether it's in a very mundane job or task, or whether it's in a glorified one. That's not the point. The point is that God will choose to use me how he sees fit. And so thinking through what has this done to my heart and what has this cultivated, it's cultivated both humility, and it's cultivated recognizing God is a God that loves us and gives good gifts. Mm. And sometimes we make ourselves so busy that we don't accept those good gifts. The gift of just taking a walk and hearing the birds, the gift of having a steak, the gift of whatever it is, spending time, blowing bubbles in the backyard with your kids, having a deep conversation with your wife. Those are good gifts that God has given us. And so when we create some space to kind of stop and rest and reflect and worship, like, we can then see those good gifts. And so it's kind of transformed also a little bit of my view of God as he has all these good gifts for us and he wants us to enjoy them. And we need to think through how can we enjoy them in the space and time that he's given us. Once again, with still keeping work as another thing that he's given us as a good thing, and finding these balance, this rhythm that will help us to enjoy the work then too. Because when we get proper rest and space from our things, we then enjoy our work even more. At least I've experienced this. I don't want to say this is universal for everybody, but for me in my life, when I'm well rested, I enjoy the work that much more because I'm not irritable, because I'm not just longing, oh, I wish I could get out of here early so I can go do something else. But it helps me also concentrate on the task in front of me because I know I just had some rest a couple days ago and some more rest is coming in a couple days. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that, once again, practicing rest is then going to make you see work as a bad thing. Hopefully it'll elevate also you to enjoy your work more.
I think that's really good. Well, thank you for coming on. I really enjoyed this conversation and I think we'll probably have you on again. It'd be great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to just have these conversations. So yeah, thanks again.
Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you for listening to Concerning Him, an Emmaus podcast. Ministries like Concerning Him are possible because of the generous contributions from our partners around the world. For more information about partnering with us, please visit emmaus.edu/partner.